I'm gonna bite his dick off.
What the heck? Hey, what's up? It's the Huff. Sorry. It's just a random soundbite I pulled up. I gotta play it. That's how we're gonna start the show. Biting people's dicks off. Anyway, hope you're having a great day. Got a lot to get to, but first hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening or watching. Today's podcast is presented to you by Sugar Fire in Westminster, as well as Jad's Mile High Smoke. Sorry. I try to do that lately where I have a funny soundbite to start the show and then just go into it. You're welcome. Listen, I didn't say I was a smart guy. Didn't say I was funny. It just makes me laugh. But what we need to do right now, we got a bunch of them. Let's jump into the headlines.
Let's go! Let's go!
And now, here are the headlines.
I'm right there with this person. I usually don't like DoorDash. Sorry if you're a driver, but there's been way too many times where you see the story of a DoorDash driver being upset that they didn't get a big enough tip. So what they do is they end up eating the person's food, or they eat half of it, or they just put it to the back of the car, essentially, and make it like a two-hour delivery, some bullshit like that. Don't have respect for people like that. All you're doing is making it worse on yourself. Fucking dicks. Anyway, sorry, back to the original story. A female DoorDash driver claims she was penalized by the food delivery company for refusing to drop off an order to a male nudist. Okay, let's keep going on this one. This is what she said. When I got to the restaurant, the food wasn't ready yet, so I took a seat and started scrolling through Twitter. And she said, I got a message from the customer saying, hey, just to let you know, I'm a nudist, and I will be answering the door nude. She then responded with, okay, I will be canceling then, and went out to my car to call support. Then, as she's calling support, she says she was left stunned. However, when an employee on the DoorDash support line told her that she would not be able to cancel the order without it affecting her completion rate, she was irate. Then she went to Reddit and then vented about DoorDash and how shitty of a company this is. I will be honest. I agree with her. He was probably, on one hand, hey, FYI, I'm going to answer the door naked. On the other hand, isn't that indecent exposure? Can't he get in trouble for that? And of course, this is a dude doing it, answering the door with his dong hanging out. He's hoping that she's like, well, that was my last delivery. Now can I have some wiener? That's what he was hoping for, right? Guys, that's what he was hoping for, deep down. And listen, I get it. If you're a nudist, that's fine. Answer to the door with some clothes on. That's disgusting and rude. What if it was somebody's grandma? What if it was a Jehovah's Witness that came to the door and you're just going to answer the door naked? I'm sorry. I feel like that's you're going to get yourself in trouble for doing that. And it's fucked up. Ooh, the delivery driver's here. Oh, shit. It's Girl Scouts. Guess what? Now you're a sex offender. I'm just saying this guy, he should be in a lot more trouble. DoorDash should be ashamed, assuming that everything we're hearing from this lady is on the up and up, okay? But it sounds like it is. And if they're not supporting her, that's pretty jacked up. If I just imagine, like, he answers the door. Let's say she was fine with it. This is where pornos have screwed up society. He thinks that he's gonna, you know, he orders some food, gets the food delivered, and he's just like, are you ready for the tip? Am I ever? Right? That's a porn. That's a porn waiting to happen that has probably been made 100 times, if not more. Right? Man, what a scumbag. Could you imagine if you were delivering and somebody answers the door and they're just completely naked? Come on, I don't want to see that. Unless I'm single and it's an attractive woman. That's all I'm saying. I'm a bit of a hypocrite. Especially like in your teenage years where the wind gets you rock hard. A mom, speaking of pulling things out, a mom pulled out a samurai sword after she got in an argument with one of the neighbors because they didn't pick up their dog's crap on their yard. I got to be honest, that pisses me off a lot when I see people walking their animals. Listen, if a dog urinates on my lawn, that's fine. I'm not thrilled about it, but I get it. But if a dog drops a deuce on my yard, I expect you to pick it up. And if you don't pick it up right away, I expect you to go home, get a bag, and then come back and pick it up. Because that's disgusting. Especially my yard. I have two small kids that are always playing in the yard. I don't want them to have to slip on dog crap. They would be so mad. Have you ever stepped in dog poop and it automatically ruins your day. Automatically. Especially if you step in it and slide. Oh, my God. I'd be pissed, too. But that being said, I'm not so pissed that I'm going to go and grab a samurai sword. I mean, come on. Talk about, you know, letting things get out of hand.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
It did. It did a lot. Holy shit. That scared the fuck out of me. I got to be honest. If you're arguing with somebody, the next thing you know, they come back and they're wielding a sword. Be like, all right, well, I just defecated in my pants. Now we got two messes to pick up. Oh my God, what a psycho. A psycho brings a knife to an argument. Okay. Or, a gun obviously too is a horrible thing as well. Just settle it with your words. And if your dog craps in the lawn, pick it up. That's simple. And I know there's some people that do this too. They wait weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to pick up the dog crap in their backyard. Now, that being said, when the weather's nasty, sometimes it's a pain in the butt to go pick up the poop. So I give everybody a grace period when the weather is kind of, when it's snowy and icy and stuff like that. But if it's good weather, you should be picking up the dog crap pretty dang quick. Give it a week, pick it up. Some of you pick it up after every single time. That's great. Good for you. I don't do that. I wait a week, then pick it up all at once. But man, don't be pulling out no Highlander sword. You got Connor McLeod over there. Pulling it out. There can only be one. Oh, fuck. I'll pick up the poop. I'll pick up the poop. I swear to God. Medical workers in Australia are asking bite victims to please stop bringing in snakes to the hospitals. This makes a lot of sense. But I got to be honest. There was a point in time, 10 minutes ago, where I would have brought in the snake. I would have killed it first. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know enough about snakes where I can say, hey, it was a rattlesnake or it was this type of snake, a bull snake, which looks, I believe, similar to a rattlesnake. And I would just, if I could, kill it and then bring it in and say, this bit me or this bit my family member. But they bring up a good point. Hospital staff are not trained to identify snakes, but they can perform tests to determine whether a bite victim needs antivenom. And also they're saying, if you bring it in and it's still alive, if it gets loose, that's going to potentially harm other people. Also, if it scares the shit out of the nurses or doctors, that's going to cause some problems too and delay the healing process. Like, fuck, man, hold on. It tried to bite me, or it did bite me. Now we need two people with anti-venom. Don't do that. But I get it. I get why you would. Because, especially in Australia, just about anything out there can fucking kill you, it seems like. Colorado, we have a few poisonous things. So I guess it wouldn't make as much. Well, yeah, because like if it's a bull snake versus a rattlesnake. But that being said, I'm guessing by the puncture wounds, they'd be able to tell what's the reaction going on around the bite. So they'd be able to determine what kind of snake it is. I don't know. I guess I'd never really thought too much about it. I was just going to be like, I'll just cut the fucking snake's head off. If it bit me, I'll just grab it. Seems like an easy thing to do. Grab it and then just rip its head off and bring it in. It seems so simple, right? So simple. Remember when we had Chad Brown on this show and he was talking about snakes? Oh, great interview. One of my favorite interviews is with Chad Brown because he's a former NFL linebacker, but all we talked about was snakes and his life of reptiles. Really cool, fascinating stuff. Because I said, I think I could grab a snake. He's like, you think you could, but you probably can't. I was like, yeah, I think if it lunged at me, I'd be quick enough to grab it and then, probably smack it on the head and then toss it into a garbage can. Seems so simple, but probably a bad idea. Scott, how'd you get 10 bites all over your face? Well, apparently I'm not as quick as I thought I was. Hold on, I'm lightheaded. And that's how I died, right? sorry. Hey, we're going to dive into some crazy sports stuff going on here in a second. But first, Sugar Fire in Westminster, my favorite barbecue place by far. You got to follow them on social media, especially Instagram and Facebook, at Sugar Fire Westy. And every single day, they're going to be posting their daily specials. It's really cool. But one thing that you might not know is when the Nuggets or Avs win, the next day, so like today, you go into Sugar Fire and say, hey, I was listening to the Huff. The Nuggets won yesterday. He said, if I buy some food, I get a free soda. Is that cool? And they better say yes. They better. Or else you got to give me a ringy dingy. Okay, it's going to happen. You're going to go in there and you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to enjoy that free soda and you're going to fall in love with the great barbecue over at Sugar Fire in Westminster. In fact, today's special is one of my favorite burgers of all time. It might be the favorite. It's called the Bronco Burger. Double burger with American cheese, bacon, brisket, onions, pickles, and Texas hot sauce. So freaking good. All their burgers are amazing. In fact, all their food is amazing. They got a brisket dip, which is like French dip on steroids, that's going to make your head explode with satisfaction. They got ribs. They got smoked wings. They got smoked turkey. Like I said, brisket. It's all freaking delicious. You got to go in there. They also have amazing sides, whether it's broccoli cheddar soup, caramel pecan, applesauce, smashed loaded potatoes, brisket mac and cheese, tater tots, super slaw, loaded mashed potatoes, broccoli ranch salad, cucumber salad, and fried pickles. Oh my God, the fried pickles. So delicious. It's a great place to go. Sugar Fire in Westminster. Like I said, by far my favorite barbecue joint in the state of Colorado. It's family friendly. It's great for date night, and they even do catering. So win that next meeting at the office. It's Sugar Fire in Westminster, 144th and Orchard Parkway, just east of Huron on the south side of 144th. Follow them on social media at Sugar Fire Westy. Check them out online, sugarfiresmokehouse.com. It's Sugar Fire in Westminster, reinventing barbecue every single day. I got your mouth watering with the whole Sugar Fire, with the whole barbecue talk. Legit barbecue, which, by the way, I got to tell you, Sugar Fire, it's chef-driven, so they know what they're doing when it comes to handling meat. They do. And when it comes to cannabis, Jad's Mile High Smoke, they're legit. They're the only licensed canna bar in the state of Colorado. It works like an alcohol bar, but it's for cannabis. Really? It's brilliant. So cool. I was over there the other day. Great place. Very friendly. Just a warm, inviting environment that I just like to be a part of. It's really cool. You got to go check them out. It's a full service bar. The staff is fantastic. and just go in there, say hi, and they got like 7 big screen TVs. You can catch your favorite sporting event. You could even host a watch party. There was a couple watch parties the other day that I was running into, and they were just so excited to just hang out and chill. So you got to check it out. Also, they got Nintendo Switches available to rent, tons of free board games, playing cards, coloring books, dominoes, and a quarter arcade with pinball machines, vintage Street Fighter, and Mortal Kombat, and a few others. It's great. You got to go check it out. It's a great place to just go hang. They're open daily from noon to 10. Happy hour runs from noon to 4:20 Monday through Friday. It's Jad's Mile High Smoke, 9 minutes from Coors Field, and open, like I said, noon to 10. Got to be 21 or older to consume. No outside product is needed. And you can't bring in outside product, period. So you can just buy it there. Jad's at 7667 Washington Street. Just GPS to Jad's. This was wild. I saw this and it kind of upset me. The Denver Broncos traded for Zach Wilson, a known MILF hunter. If you don't know what MILF is, you've obviously never watched porn. Mother, I'd like to fuck, okay? And he has a history of it. He likes to bang older ladies. And guess what? I tip my cap to him. Good for you. Good for you. An experienced older woman? Yes, please. Sorry. Yeah, good for him, right?
I mean, Sean Connery's a little upset. I don't need anybody impeding on my territory. I will fuck you up. I will shank you in the shower. Why are you going to thank him in the shower? That don't make no sense. I said shank. No idea what the fuck you saying.
Anyway, I don't know how I feel about this. But I guess as I go through this, maybe I'll have more of a conclusion of my thoughts. But he didn't have a great experience in New York as a New York Jets quarterback. I believe he was 12-21 as a starter. Not very good. But here's the thing that I kind of lean back on, and a lot of people in the media are saying, is he has talent. He's a former number 2 pick, overall pick, from back in 2021. Not very long ago. Okay? And all they did was exchange for some late-round picks. They're not losing much on this. I feel like if he's a bust with the Broncos, no big deal. If they end up finding that they can salvage Zach Wilson's career and they can get something great out of him and he can be better than a Russell Wilson, that would be great. That's a huge win. And what'd they get for him? A couple draft picks, late rounds. That would be fantastic. There's a lot of hope in this trade. And I'm not, the more I think about it, I'm not like too upset about it. It's easy to clown on him because he likes to bang older women. Again, tip of the cap. But I don't see where this is that big of a problem. The Broncos still have draft capital. They still have the options to draft a quarterback in this upcoming draft, in the first round. They could do that, whether they move up or maybe they stay at where they're at, what, number 12. But either way, I don't see it as that big of a problem that they got Zach Wilson. My hopes aren't very high for him. I want to be pleasantly surprised with Zach Wilson. I'm just saying, if he burns out and he's just another quarterback that has graced the Denver Broncos roster, yeah, that's fine, whatever. Okay. No big deal. But if they find a spark, if Sean Payton and company find a spark and they're able to ignite the flame that's inside Zach Wilson, what's wrong with that? That'd be great. That's a win. That's a big win. I don't think it's as big of a deal as people are trying to make it out to be, as far as I know, like, there was some messages from a listener named Brad who was very pissed off about it. He's a hardcore Bronco fan. I get it, Brad. But when you take a step back, they're not saying he's going to be a starter. He will potentially have the opportunity to battle for the starting position. What I want is for him to come out there and surprise me and do well. What he needs to do is holster that pistol and stop, MILF hunting. That's the thing. You can't be a MILF hunter.
Not in this day and age and not in this town, Buster.
Oh, Connery, you sounded like an old Western.
Not in my town, mister. Son of a bitch.
Listen, I don't think it's that big of a deal. What I think would be a huge deal, let's say he does become the starter and he plays great. I hope he changes from the number two jersey to the number three jersey. So it's another Wilson wearing number three. That way, all of you that bought those Russell Wilson jerseys, then you don't have to throw them out or feel ashamed when you go to an event, whether it's a Bronco game or whatever, and you're wearing a Russell Wilson jersey. Because I think that would just create a little bit of extra love from the fan base to Zach Wilson. If he came out and said, Coach, can I be number three? And if somebody else has taken it since Russell left, I don't know. But if he takes it, I think that would be huge. It's weird, but I think it would be great. It's little things like that that would put him in good graces with the fan base. Also, winning fucking games would be great for the Denver Broncos. I'm not saying they need to be Super Bowl contenders. They need to be playoff contenders. Does Zach Wilson get them in that category? As of right now, on paper, no. But I want to be pleasantly surprised on this. Whether he ends up winning the gig to be the starting quarterback and then surprises us all and goes out there and just lights panties on fire as well as the football field, that'd be great. But at the end of the day, all I want for the Denver Broncos is for them to be successful. And adding Zach Wilson as of right now isn't hurting them, and it's not helping them as of right now. So I'm on the fence. I know it's not a definitive answer one way or the other, but let's be honest. I'm optimistic, but I'm not holding my fucking breath on Zach Wilson. You know what I need to do right now? Jeez, forgot about this. We got a bunch of them, or a couple of them. Let's go into the mailbag.
Mailbag. You've got mail.
We're going to start off with this from Abby. She says, are the LA Lakers the biggest babies in all of sports? Good question. The Denver Nuggets, they beat the Lakers last night on a last-minute shot by Jamal Murray. The Nuggets were down by, 20 points, and then this happened.
He's at the midcourt circle. 4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray got it to hard. Denver mounts the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number two, 101-99 is the final, and the Lakers can take that out on the way out.
Thank you so much to Jason Kosminski in the Altitude Radio Network. Yeah, they were down 20, fought their way back, and then win on a last-second shot by Jamal Murray. Beautiful. Beautiful. Right in the face of Anthony Davis. And let's be honest, they were not happy after the game. Here's Anthony Davis at his press conference talking about the shot.
Can you take us through that last play, just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
And then he just walks off. He's pissed. I get it. He's pissed. He's embarrassed. And what are you going to do? I get it. as a competitor, you want to win every single fucking time. And when you lose and you get embarrassed like you did, listen, there's a lot of Lakers and Laker fans that are upset about the refs, from the game. But you guys blew a 20-point lead, and you lost at the last second. It sucks. Trust me, as a fan, I've been there plenty of times, for whether it was Nuggets, Avs, or Broncos. Let's forget about those Rockies for a second. Don't worry, everybody has. But the thing is, it happens to every team where you screw up, you take your foot off the gas, and then you let your opponent come back, and then they win. It's embarrassing. And for him, what was he last year's defensive player of the year? And he lost. He lost in embarrassing fashion to Jamal Murray in a one-on-one situation. And he sunk it. They won. I get kind of irritated with that type of questioning at a press conference. You know, what happened there? I mean, you got your ass kicked, essentially. I mean, what do you want him to say? He beat me. And what he said is a simple answer. He got a shot. He won the game. I get it. Now, he at least wasn't sitting there bitching about the refs. Now steps in LeBron James.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. We have a replay center. It's going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
Here's the thing, and I heard Mike Evans on 104.3 The Fan say this morning, so I'm crediting him for this, and I'm going to paraphrase that. When you let somebody get away with something for so long, they're doing something improper, doing something that's against the rules, whatever. And then you go to correct it, they freak out. A similar comparison, and I see it all the time, in two different, you know, worlds. When I worked at Chipotle, okay, and when I became a shift manager, and you really start cracking down on how much portions are supposed to go on a burrito, and then you look at what the line workers are doing, and you're like, well, there's why our food cost is out of control. They're putting too much food on there. And when you go to put the right portions on there, the customer who has been benefiting from the workers not doing it the right way, they get furious and demand to talk to a manager. Like, well, sorry, what happened is for years they've been doing it wrong in certain locations. We're really cracking down on it. So trust me, you're still going to get a very satisfying product. Just we're following the rules now. Same thing happened at Subway. People would be fucking furious because when I worked at Subway while I was going to school for broadcasting, was like, say a 6-inch sub gets 3 pickles, 3 black olives, stuff like that. There's a formula for it. And at first, people would flip out when you go in there and you make it the right way. They're like, no, I go to the other place and they just put a handful on there. Well, we're all about making sure your sandwich tastes good and, you know, and it's made the right way. Because if you overdo it, sometimes it can ruin the flavor of the food. Whatever. Okay, that's not the point. The point is other places let them get away with it. Then when you go there and enforce the rules, people freak out. That's what's happening with LeBron James and company. They've been getting spoon-fed this great you know, product for them where, what was it? Oh, shit. It was like throughout the season, they have been, they've gotten more foul calls in favor of them by over 500 compared to their opponents. Does that make sense? Like, throughout the season, they have 500 more fouls in favor of them than their opponents do throughout the season. That's insane. Tell me that's not lopsided for LeBron James and the Lakers. And he's out here pulling a bitch fit that he is, you know, not getting calls. What are we doing here? This is bullshit, man. You lost. It's not the ref's fault. Who's to blame for the Lakers' 20-point, you know, poop in their socks moment? The Lakers. You guys did that. Not the refs. No. You guys were up by 20 points, and then you shit it away. Don't be pointing the finger. Don't. Pull the thumb. Shit. We need to be better. Because all you do, LeBron, is make yourself sound like a fucking bitch when you go out there and complain about the refs. You lost. You lost because you didn't put in the right effort. You're sitting there bitching and complaining about the refs instead of trying harder. That's the thing. Listen, you can't sit there and just blame everybody else. Take some accountability. You've done it before. Get back into that mindset. Here I am giving the enemy tidbits of info so he can come back and try to beat the Nuggets. But here's the thing. I don't have any faith in the Lakers as of right now. They look soft as butter and easily rattled. In fact, their head coach not helping.
Some tough calls, some tough nine calls. But, you know, you can't use any of that as an excuse. You got to go out there and be ready to make plays, whether the whistle gets blown or not. It's getting real tricky. Go through the season games being officiated one way, and then you get in the playoffs, and then it's like, I guess it's up left to the interpretation of the three individual guys that's doing the job out there. But all that said, you just have to know that, yeah, it stings. Remember this feeling as we take it back home to L.A., and we got to give them that same feeling in game three.
So he starts off by saying you can't blame the refs. Then he sits there and starts pointing the finger at the refs. It's not helping. As the leader of that team, he needs to say, hey, he should have stuck with what he said at the beginning. You know, you can't blame the refs on this. Okay? We gave up a 20-point lead. We should be better than that. No excuses. No excuses. Gotta go. I was telling my son the other day, he's like, how come, and I think I've told you this, like, you know, the sometimes the strike zone's here, sometimes it seems like it's there. They call a strike one day here, and the next day that's a ball. What, it gets really confusing. I was like, I know. That's sports. It's frustrating. I get it. But you just have to deal with that. It sucks. Because, yeah, you could be in the batter's box, and it goes right by your eyeballs, and they're like, strike! And you're like, what the fuck? Next day, they're like, ball! You know, that's the way it is. It's annoying. It's annoying, but that's part of sports. And sometimes it goes in your favor and sometimes it goes against you. And that's what sucks. And the Lakers right now, they're sounding like a bunch of fucking crying babies. That being said, I haven't seen too many Laker fans out there saying the same thing. I could be wrong, but I mean, they're the ones that gave up the 20-point lead. And now you're just sitting there trying to suck on, David Stern's teat and say, please, can you help us out? No. Get off me. God damn it. You're sucking me dry. Things that are annoying, too, that go along with the Lakers is Nick Wright of Fox Sports decided to point the finger in a direction that you just don't hear very much about.
Again, it's too late in this season, but the NBA probably at some point needs to look in this altitude thing. It seems like
hold on, Nick. It seems Denver like has never won a championship unfair. Until
well,
last year.
I get it.
All right, so
it does seem unfair.
It just I seems played a at little, altitude at an all-star yeah, game, and it was
it seems a little unfair.
It hits you.
I gotta
in
tell
about
you,
2 minutes.
Like this whole thing of like Denver never having, except for I guess Melo or Alex English, even like a Hall of Fame level player. Maybe that was the Dan Issel. Yeah. That's the way it was supposed to be. Because this is like they're just an unfair advantage.
The Rockies.
I'm not making any excuses,
but it seems
and I know it's going to get clipped, but you got to at least look into it. You got to do something.
Yeah,
like, give them extra timeouts or something. Man. I don't like it.
So here's what I have to say about that. I think he was serious at first, and then literally, as you watch the video, everybody starts laughing at him and giving him like this weird look. And then it's just like, I mean, right altitude. It sucks. It's only a problem because the Nuggets are good. When they were okay, nobody cared. They're like, ah, the altitude, it'll get you. But teams are still going in there and beating them. Now that and to Nick's defense, what he's saying is, yeah, before they had like maybe one great player on their team. And then now they got a whole slew of great players. And plus you add in the altitude. Well, that's a problem. Well, yeah, it is. But listen, you're not going to move the Denver Nuggets. You're not going to. Nuggets are here forever. They're staying here. They're not going to move because you little bitches are starting to get your ass handed to you by the Denver Nuggets. Come on. I will tell you this, though. It is a bitch. When people come in from out of town, they're used to sea level. And they come in and they try to be active. Especially if you go into the mountains. Denver's one thing. You start trying to do a hike up in the mountains, that's even worse. You're going to get your ass kicked. You can puke. You get altitude sickness. It's serious stuff. It's not anything to, you know, mock. So I get it. What's funny to me, though, and it sucks, whenever I go to sea level, and let's say I order a drink, I don't get a buzz. It's annoying. I have to drink like three times what I normally do in order to get something rolling. And then, you know, I come back to Colorado and I'm a one drink guy. maybe two. So yeah, that's the only downside for me for living at altitude is the booze. Okay. Can't handle it here. Joey said, "Hey, DeHuff, I saw a guy trying to mess with you on you and others on Twitter. How do you like to handle the trolls?" I don't get very many trolls, but it's funny. I know who you're talking about. It was some random dude, and it was just out of the blue. Like everybody else responding to a post I did where I was Sean Connery having a conversation with Cowboy DeHuff about the Zach Wilson trade, whatever. It's on my social, at DeHuff Podcast. And like one dude just starts mouthing off for no fucking reason. And I'm like, what the hell is this guy? I responded, I was like, who's shitting your Cheerios? And then he said something negative back. And then I just responded with a smiley face. And then that was it. He hasn't responded back. I was looking at the guy's timeline and he was doing this to other people and they handled it completely different where they were being combative back. They were just responding just as negatively, if not more so, to the point where one individual was, you know, they're trying to set up a fight so they could fight. I'm like, that's why? I thought about continuing to joke around with the negative Nancy guy, continue to like joke around, and be like, this sounds like my mom. Is this my mom? Who gave you access to Twitter, mom? Something like that. But I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to do any more. It's some guy with like 100 followers and he's just trying to get some traction, some interaction so he can justify having an account. And the more you do that, the more you can potentially make money off of it and stuff like that. So I was just like, nah. For the most part, I just ignore it. Every now and then, those will pop up. But I'll have to say this. Most of my followers, and I would say most of you listeners, are great people. There's always that one guy, though. One guy. It's like, why? Don't listen. If you're offended by something I say, then don't listen. It's okay. But the way I project it, I just try to be honest with you guys. And I think I would have to say that 99% of you are just great people. You get it. Life's short. Let's laugh. And sometimes we can laugh at the hard stuff. And listen, like, I'm giving shit to LeBron James. I don't wish him any harm. I don't. I think that's fucked up. I wish that the Nuggets beat the snot out of him. Yeah, that's great. And I wish that they send him into retirement. I don't want him to go into retirement as a champion. Fuck that shit. I want the Denver Nuggets to bury LeBron James and the Denver Nuggets and move on to the next opponent. That's what I want. That's just being honest. I give a shit about trying to fluff people up and just trying to make everybody happy. But I don't want to be a complete butthole about it. I like using that word. I do, butthole. But I guess ultimately, the way you should do it is just ignore the trolls. That happens on Facebook because sometimes, you know, a post will get a lot more traction. Then it starts spreading out to people that don't actually follow you. And you'll get somebody that will comment just completely negatively. They'll try to bring politics into just any sort of post. And you're like, that it's a post about cheese or something like that. And they're like, yeah, Trump this and Biden that. Like, no, that's not what we're doing. So what I do, I just ignore it. And if somebody interacts with them, good for them. But usually what happens is, let's say there's 100 people commenting on a post. And there's one person that has no interaction, you know, because I'll respond to as many people as I can. And other people will respond to other people's posts. And then there's that one lone jerk off that is trying to, you know, push buttons for people. And he's just sitting there by himself with his dick in the wind. Because nobody wants that, man. It's just, we're not going to sit here and try to, you know, shit on everybody's parade. You can have fun and joke and you know, like, you know, when you're around your friends, you give each other shit. I think that's the relationship we kind of have. But ultimately, it's just like, hey, let's have fun today. I don't need people, you know, trying to rain on the parade type of thing. We can give each other shit. We can joke about other things, give other people shit, but it's all tongue in cheek. And if you try to come in here and try to be overly serious on something and just be is trying to just, you know, chuck negativity everywhere, see if it sticks. Well, I'm just gonna let it slide off the wall because I don't have time for that. I don't want to deal with that. So, Joey, I hope that answers your question. Is essentially you just try to let them roll off your back and just ignore them because you're not giving fuel to their fire. Listen, I talk about you guys. You guys are my friends, okay? And I got a perfect soundbite for you, okay? When I think of you, this is the soundbite I think of.
Because he's my best friend. He's my pal. He's my homeboy, my rotten soldier. He's my sweet cheese, my good time boy.
If you've never watched What We Do in the Shadows, it's on Hulu, but you can access it through Disney Plus if you have Hulu. It's a hilarious story, a TV show. And I just started watching it. I'm only the first two seasons. I want to say there's like five seasons or something like that. But it's obviously comedy. It's kind of like The Office as far as there's a camera crew following these people around and they're constantly talking to the camera. And it's funny because they're following around vampires in modern day. It's fucking hilarious. One of my favorite shows. Currently, my favorite show. If I have an opportunity to watch anything, it's going to be that show because it's just hilarious. Love it so much. Oh, my God. These Laker fans or Lakers. I'm not even mad at the Laker fans right now. I'm just irritated with Lakers, the Lakers, LeBron James, essentially. Hold on. Okay, really? LeBron James, at the end of the day, you're a bitch.
Right, as always.
You got it, Ken. All right, thank you guys so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it. You guys have an amazing day. Big thanks to Sugar Fire in Westminster. Go check them out. They're off 144th and Orchard Parkway, right next to Snooze on the south side of 144th. Go in there today because the Nuggets won yesterday. Today you go in there. As long as you buy some food, you get a free soda. Make sure you heard it here on the show. Also, big thanks to Jad's Mile High Smoke. Just a great place to go relax. 7667 Washington Street. It's the Huff Uncensored. You guys have an amazing day. Try not to be a dick. Don't be a troll unless it's funny, okay? You could be a troll and just, like, you know, follow it up with JK LOL. And that's fine. I'm fine with that, okay? But don't just be a troll and just leave it out there, your hatred, and just annoying. Anyway, you guys have an amazing day. Don't be one of those guys. Let's continue to move forward. I'll talk to you next time.